Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are another episode of Let's Talk Battle Rap with your host, Franz. You can follow the show at We Talk Battle Rap on Twitter. You can follow the show on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Let's Talk Battle Rap. And today on the show, I have a guest. To introduce our guest, he is, as he quotes himself, the trailblazing pioneer. You just seen him recently against E-Hart. He's been on LA Battleground Prison Battle League, and he has been openly the first gay battle rapper, Fly King I. Welcome to the show.
Glad to have you. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you. We're glad to have you, man. So I seen the battle with E-Hart, and I got to admit, I was pretty blown away by it, and I really wanted to learn more information about it. I really want to know, how did this match come together? You know, like.
Well, first of all, shout out to Araze, who is the owner of Optimus Battle League. That was actually his first event. He was actually a general manager over at Queen of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a lot of connections with the Queen of the Ring artists, with Babs and Debo. So he wanted to put a card together. And he actually, because E-Hart saw me, because I brought up Marasha on another league in Brooklyn, so shout out to Steve Battle League, Peter Don, and QB Black Diamond. That's their league. So E-Hart saw me there. So he called E-Hart because him and E-Hart are cool. And he said, what do you think about Fly King? And she said she was with it. And, you know, they set it up and said we was going to make it the main event and make it this big thing. And I'm like, dope, let's do it. And, you know, it went down.
you used the main event. And I think your second battle ever, you were main event. And then you were main event over at a Prison League too.
Yeah, and I was main event when I was supposed to battle Daylight.
I remember that. You had the red ski mask ready for it. You just had to get the rounds
ready.
You're like, you know what? When you craft a round for Daylight, you can't save this for nobody else. I'm just gonna get it out. That's what you was probably thinking.
Yeah. I was like, that's why I put it out, because I was like, I can't even, like, say this to nobody else. It'll just be like, you know, so I just put it out. And, you know, I'm the type of person, I feel like, if I come up with something, I can come up with something else, so it's not a big deal.
Right. And you know, when you first got the announcement, right, that, like, you were going to battle E-Hart, like, you gotta remember, like, E-Hart is like, top tier in the female battle rap world. Mm-hmm. She's, like, highly respected, one of the pioneers of it all, and the first female battle rapper that was on Smack alongside with Miss Hustle. So I know when you got the battle, right, you were like, yo, I can't play around. You know, what was your thought process there, realizing, like, yo, this might be my biggest challenge right here?
I think my thought process was, like, how am I going to approach her? What am I going to say? Am I going to be... Because I have a way of being disrespectful in my own little way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, am I going to be disrespectful? Am I just going to have bars? And it was just kind of like, no, it's E-Hart. You got to just go crazy. You got to give her everything you got. Like,
right.
Going to say it.
You opened it out strong. And you know what? I don't know if you realize this, and maybe you did if it was a strategy of yours, and I want to pick at it. You opened your battle with, like, performance bars, joking at her, clowning at her. And... Mm-hmm. One of E-Hart's weaknesses over the years was just her lack of performance. And not a lot of battle rappers get a chance to really make jokes on her because she's so bar heavy that they want to compete with her bar for bar. You opened up instantly to rock the crowd. That you knew that was like, all right, this is her weak spot. Let me point at it. Or it was just you being yourself and it hit.
I think because normally the first round is probably something I would say for the third round. But I said, I don't know if I'm going to go first. I don't know if she's going to go first or what she's going to come off with. And I think I'm battled enough to know that if you have a strong first against, like, a vet, it's going to be hard for them to get back the momentum of their first round.
Mm.
Like, I felt like if I can get a strong reaction by just saying a couple of words, you know, not the thing from the ring and it's in the room going crazy. I didn't even say nothing yet. I didn't even get it. It's been 10 seconds.
Right.
You know, I've been rapping. So I'm like, if I can do that, I can at least make it a debatable battle. You know what I'm saying? So that's what my strategy was. So I decided to put one of my strongest rounds first instead of doing it last.
Right. And that's strategic, man. I think people forget sometimes in battle rap, like, yeah, you craft these rounds, but the placements of them dictates everything.
Right.
this takes everything, and more importantly, right. the energy level of it all. Like, I don't think you've had this situation, and if, you know, from your last 9 other battles, you can enlighten me if you felt this way. Losing the first round, right? When you go first and you lose the first round, and then, you know, it's the top of the second, it's on you. To gain momentum from the crowd back and swing them back in your favor,
it's hard.
It's the most difficult thing to do. People undermine right. it a lot.
It's very difficult.
A lot of your battles, you've been pretty dominant, to be honest. Like, you beat Cali M, you beat Perfecto, like, a lot of your battles, for me, like, I didn't really have you having that much pressure from your opponent, more just from, like, the crowd adapting to you. Mm-hmm. Or would you disagree? You feel like you have received that pressure from your opponents in the past? Because I can't recall.
I feel like I haven't received the pressure from my opponents. I think one thing that I've learned going into it, even with Perfecto, because most of my opponents, including E-Hart, we have this conversation after the battle. And I think when people see me on YouTube, it's different from when you see me in person. So I think people write for me on YouTube and think in their head, like, oh, he's just going to have jokes, so I'm just going to bar him or have these bars.
No,
and
all they're
not going to matter.
They're
and
fooled.
Then they get in front of me, and it's like, oh, shit.
Right. You're actually very bar heavy. Like, you know, you land a couple of the haymakers down the line, and everybody's like, oh, hold on. And they open up their ears a little bit more.
Yeah. They try to say I just have performance. But, you know, I feel like I'm a good writer also without the performance.
No,
I
have a lot of respect for your pen, honestly, and the way you crafted it, and you layer it. Like, you're not just a 4-bar setup. You're layering it, and you're rapping along with it. And, you know, and you've had the pleasure of battling in a lot of small rooms, so people get to hear you rap. You don't get, like, a lot of pauses and reactions. So, like, that's been a really good trait to somebody to watch you, and down the line, you know, like, okay, now let's put King on the big stage. To see what it'd be like, and since you have performance, it wouldn't be a problem. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they get me on a big stage soon. I've been out here fighting to get the door open, so we'll see.
You know, now, thinking about the future, right? Before we get into that, I want to get back to the past, and I really want to learn about your introduction to battle rap. Like, I know you, I've done some research on you, so I know you've been an artist since about 2011, 2012, rapping. Or probably even longer, but you started off in music. And like most battle rappers do, they start off in music. When did you transition to battle rap?
I transitioned to battle rap because battle rap was always something I was always interested in. I used to watch the Smack Battles back when, you know, there was DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they had the Come Up DVD. I used to watch the Come Up DVD.
Yeah, I remember the
and,
Come Up.
And it's not a very big thing over here on the West Coast. It's kind of grown a little bit bigger than it might have been maybe 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was something I always felt like I could do. I think I had people telling me, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. There's never been a gay rapper. It's never going to work. How no one would be able to take him seriously. But I think I knew I had a formula that, and you know, people say that you can't listen to other people because they don't see your vision. So I knew I had a way to be aggressive in my own way. I don't have to go talking about guns. I could do it in a different way and attack my opponent, and I knew that. So I seen that Grind Time was having a tryout here in West Hollywood. So I went to the tryout, and I remember they paired me up with somebody randomly.
Right.
This was when Mad Eels was running in, and they paired me up with somebody. I'm trying to think of the nigga name. I can't remember the nigga name. But they paired me up with him, and they said, I think they gave us 2 rounds, which is weird, but we had 2 rounds. Because,
mm-hmm.
Well, we got 1 round, and then you get another round of rebuttal, you know, whatever your opponent said.
Mm.
And everybody was looking at me like, what would he was finna do? Like, I was so nervous, and I ended up killing them. And everybody was going crazy, and that's, you know, the rest is history from there.
Yeah, man. So, like, you know, I've seen an interview on you, right? And in the interview, I'm going to quote you. You said, the beginning of your battle rap journey, it was difficult to get a battle. And I really want to learn a little bit just more details of, like, what was going on, like, in your mind to, like, overcome the pressure and the difficulties of just getting booked, like not even performing well, just getting booked and then eventually having to prove yourself. Cause, you know, you have to work twice as hard, not just being gay, but just going into a crowd that like you're kind of already like hated on, like whether you're a battle rapper,
right,
that nobody wants to see you. You're from a different city. You're a different ethnic group. You're already coming into that, right, with hostility. So that's already difficult. And for right, you seem very resilient in the way you carry yourself, and it, as if it never bothered you. Like, you were nervous, but you followed your game plan. Talk to me a little about that. I definitely want to learn.
I think coming up in the game, I started, you know, rapping. I rapped on the league called Just FTV. I did my thing. I rapped, you know, in San Francisco, which from L.A. is about a six-hour car drive. It's, like, way on the other side of California. So I was doing my thing, and then finally I got on L.A. Battlegrounds, which is probably the biggest league over on the West Coast, so which I always wanted, was a goal of mine. And I was able to get on that league without even having to do a tryout. They put me on the card, and they put me against another gay guy, which I think had a lot to do with it. I ended up 3-0 him. His name is Just Josh. And what I noticed was it never was a problem with me getting booked. I consistently had battles this whole time I've been rapping. The problem was it was hard for me to book somebody that would elevate my tier. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to, at the end of the day, battle someone who has who's at a certain level for you to get to the next level. It's like Mortal Kombat. You got to battle the next person to get to the boss at the end of the game. And it was hard because they would ask people, even willing to pay people, and people would be like, no, 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 no. Even, and then they would take opponents that wasn't as good as me, that didn't have the same views as me, that wasn't getting the same plus as me. And it just was something that struggled. And also, it's the reason why, you know, I just thank God for the East Coast, because I was able to continue to move, because on the West Coast, all the guys would say no. So if it wasn't for these opportunities I was getting on the East Coast, which is ironic because all of these most of the rappers on the West Coast strive to get booked on the East Coast, and I'm getting booked on the East Coast. And it's just still no one, if you ask on the West Coast, will this person battle me, this person battle me, who's a name or whatever, who, you know, has a certain buzz, they would say no, even though I'm doing more than even they are. Like, you know, I'm a rapper and freshman, I get angry fan coverage, I get coverage of 15 minutes of fame coverage all over that a lot of guys wish they could get, you know, at my stage. And, you know, it's hard for me to book a battle. I don't know if that has a lot to do with they scared or it's risky to battle someone like me, or, you know, all the different list of reasons we could go down, but it's just, it's always been difficult. I've even been in situations where I know people were going up to different league owners and telling them, well, you can't book him because, you know, that's the gay agenda. Like, it's just been a lot behind the scenes that people don't even know about that I've been through. But I think for me, it was just kind of like, you know, this is bigger than you. You know, you're able to do something that no one has ever done in the history of battle rap. So you have to, you know, you have to just keep trying to push forward. Even when I stood there to battle Perfecto, I say something, and it's like in the crowd, they was calling me faggots. They were saying all types of stuff. And I remember being up there. I remember like it was yesterday, and I was saying to myself, like, look, you already up here, so you got to give it your all. Don't be nervous because you're going to show on your performance. So just act like everything good. And as soon as the show, as soon as they say Fly King is on you, just get in your bag. Fuck them. And that's what I did.
You did great against Perfecto. I actually had you win that battle 3-0. And that was you battled on a legendary card. LA Beef 2 was a really big card for LA Battlegrounds.
Yes.
And you know, it's
from the West Coast in general.
You know, it's interesting that you pointed out that, like, the West didn't give you as much love as the East because of, you know, your orientation. Right. But when you think of hip-hop, right, and gay rappers in hip-hop, it all kind of originated with the Deep Dick Collective out in California, in Oakland. They were some of the first rappers that kind of, like, broke through, and they opened up the Peace Out Music Festival for homo hop in hip-hop. So you would think that California kind of has, like, a base of support. But it's interesting how, like, you had to literally fight through it. And you know what? Unfortunately, that you had to, like, work twice as hard, it put a chip on your shoulder that made you, like, perform as well as you did, because it makes you, you know, write as hard as you can, prepare as hard as you can, say to yourself, I can't afford a slip up. Like, I'm already hated on. So if I even slip on a bar, if I choke, if I stumble, I'm getting booed out of here, you know?
Right.
And it puts that pressure for you to, like, just excel and break through. And I was going to ask you, but you mentioned it yourself, how, like, you can make history. And I guess you were aware of that. Like, I have to suck it up because honestly, if I do this well enough and I execute and I'm liked and respected, I can open doors, which you probably did. And it must have felt great.
Yeah, that's... What did you say?
I said it must have felt great to know, like, okay, I can open doors with this, you know?
It does feel great. Like, I get so many DMs and messages and all types of stuff, and it feels great to be able to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially to persuade people who doesn't understand people like me, who doesn't, you know, like people like me because of preconceived notions. There's so many guys in battle rap that I've met, you know, on this journey that I'll tell you, like, you know what, I really didn't, you know, fuck with the gay community like that, but after I get the reaction I get, it's just like, you know, you guys, it just seems to me like you guys are just people like everybody else, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you guys aren't aliens, you know, people...
That's what people act like, though, like, we're aliens, and it's like, we're just people like everyone else.
Right, right.
We live a little differently, act a little differently, but we're just people just like everybody else.
But, you know,
pretty normal.
To also add on to kind of like the awkwardness of like coming into a battle being hated, not just being gay, but just also being a different ethnic group. Because you mentioned earlier, you watched Smack DVD back in the days. You remember Jin?
Mm-hmm.
We all want to ignore this or sweep this under the rug. But when Jin was first battling, nobody wanted to give him a chance because he was Asian.
Right.
And, you know, we had Caucasian battle rappers corner to corner, and people didn't want to give it a chance. So Ira Solomon broke through, won tournaments, and was on Smack. And then everybody's like, oh, well, mm-hmm. now we got to pay attention to the white battle rappers. And so as a whole, like, I love that battle rap eventually opened up and became more vulnerable, where, like, we started allowing females. We started allowing any kind of artists of any kind of ethnic group, you know. But we forget the breakthrough that it needed to take in the time period of, like, it being dismissed, you know, not wanted. It had to fight for its spot in hip hop or in battle rap hip hop, right. You know, and that's a mm-hmm. story in itself, because of like it's incredible the mental bearing that you have to go through just to like step on that stage, knowing to step on that stage, knowing that you're gonna get, you know. And I'm surprised too. Like, you probably said to yourself, "Well, I'm gonna do this battle rap thing, and battle rap is nothing but disrespect, so I'm ready."
No, but it's crazy. Like, when I watch the Perfecto battle, I really look at that. I really look at it. It's me, but I really look at Fly King and look at that person. I'm like, who is that person, and how were they able to do that? Like, because I remember how I was there. I've seen me. So I remember, like, I really felt like, I don't think I could do this. Like, and it's funny because people who were there, they seen me, like, when I got in the building, right, when I just got there, I got my little wristband, and it was like, people were like, afterward, like, the owners and stuff was like, you was over here in the corner, and you was pacing back and forth. We seen you. You kept going to the bathroom. Like, I was really, like, trying to get it together, like, it was.
Oh, so you were a nervous wreck the whole time, right before the battle.
I was a nervous wreck the whole time. Like, you would have thought I was going to choke. I'm like, I probably did think I was going to choke. I was a nervous wreck because I already knew. And on top of that, it's just like what you said. LAV2 ended up being one of the biggest cards for the West Coast in general. You got Danny Myers on the card. You got B-Dot battling. Mm-hmm. You got all these people on the card. You got Daylights on the stage. Like, everybody on the West Coast is in the building right now. So it was just so much pressure. And if when people think about how they put together battle rap cards, they save the best for last. So me and Perfecto was the second battle of the night. So that just gives you an idea on what the league thought the battle was going to be. And they ended up putting that battle on pay-per-view, and it was getting, you know, buzz everywhere. So they didn't even know it was going to do that.
It was your most viewed battle to date.
Right, it was.
And, you know, you were nervous, like you just said, but that was, I think, maybe your sixth, seventh battle by then. Any battles before that, right, where you had any, like, nervous breakdowns or nervous, like, moments, or, like, being heckled, that kind of like you had to overcome? Like, that couldn't have been the moment where you're like, I'm finally gonna get over all this, because right before that you battled a handful of times too. So were there any other battles?
I battled before, but I think that it was funny because I used to go out there, and it was kind of like everybody would look at me because I could just feel like everyone's like energy and everyone's how they're perceiving me. And I was, and it was more like, I'm gonna show them, like, watch this, like, wait, I can't wait to go. It was different. I was a little nervous, but not so much. That's a sexual battle. Like, I really felt like I want to go home. Like, I was that nervous. Like, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I remember that. That was crazy.
Wow, man. And, you know, moving a little off your past now, you know, so then you battled out in Prison Battle League, and you got a lot of your looks from LA Battlegrounds and Prison Battle League, and I kind of wanted to ask you, not so much about the league, but more about who hosted your battle that day. And I don't know if you have a good relationship with them, but I would love to know if you do, and kind of like talk to me a little bit about the influence they may have had, not just on you, but the whole scene of battle rap. Sarah Connor, the godmother of battle rap.
Sarah Connor is, like you said, she's the godmother of battle rap. She's been in the game forever. And that's really why I wanted to go over there, because, you know, it was her situation. And I was like, I was, you know, that's crazy. I get to battle with Sarah Connor. So it was definitely an honor. I love her. You know, she's always been so supportive of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. It's too bad because I've only battled over there once and I only did one round because it was around the same time I was supposed to battle Daylight. So a lot of people told me to cancel that battle, but I was like, I can't cancel that battle. So I just went over there to do one round, you know, or whatever. And I've hosted a couple of events for Prison Battle League. But I love Sarah Connor. It's definitely, that being her league had a lot to do with me going over there. And I felt like it was an opportunity to introduce myself to the East Coast audience, because there's going to be a lot of people there, you know, and, you know, word spreads around. And I knew it was going to be an opportunity for me to be in a room with people from New York, and it would get me more opportunities, because on the West Coast, it's very hard for me to move around. Like, my last 3-4 battles have been, I had a battle in
East.
Ohio, and the last two was in New York. Like, I haven't even battled in the West Coast in almost over a year. So I knew I had to do something, or I was going to, you know, be stagnant, because people are trying to get me booked over here, but, you know, this one says no, and that one says no. So, you know, I definitely appreciate Sarah for her platform and allowing me to even come over there. She actually knew who I was, and everybody else didn't. It was funny. She knew who I was, and everybody else didn't. And then when I performed, she was like, you know, I told you. And she was like, that performance was flawless. So I love Sarah, and it was an honor to be able to
meet her. You spent about 4 minutes of a round while Callie had about, I think, maybe 8-9 minutes of material. Literally double your round, and you clearly outclassed them. And I was just like, wow, okay, you know, that's impressive always to, like, outclass somebody in less of the time needed always. And I did like that.
Yeah, battling. Thank you.
So you haven't been in LA Battleground for over a year now. Last time you battled there was against Link.
Yes.
Wow. Are things starting to change now? People starting to see a little bit like, wow, you know what, we were wrong about this guy.
You know what was crazy, what was so crazy is when I battled E-Hard, I came back. A couple of, like, the next week, LA Battlegrounds had an event, and that's when they had the Bonnie was supposed to battle Strick. And
yeah, they had Domestic Violence, too.
Daylight,
that
card. So I was there, and when I was there, everybody was coming up to me like, oh, my God, we heard you, you know, what happened with E-Hard. And I'm like, this is crazy because this happened across the country. But, you know, people was telling me, like, oh, in battle rap, you know, news travels fast. So I'm like, okay. So everybody was talking about it, and everybody was so excited. It just really felt good to get all that feedback from everybody, you know, from LA Battlegrounds, all those artists that were there and everything like that. Do I feel like things have changed as far as, like, now people are going to, you know, want to battle me? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to change. But I feel like people's perception about me as a battle rapper did change, because I did get a lot of people come up to me and said, you know what, I always felt like you being a gay artist was just a gimmick, but you're actually really talented, and I apologize. You know, a lot of people apologize, and so I was like, okay, you know, whatever. But, you know, I feel like, you know, it's a big iceberg, and you have to chip at it one chip at a time, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you. And the thing about battle rap, fans are so fickle. So, like, the second you're hot, you know, you're hot, you know. Mm-hmm. everybody's on top of you. Like, oh, my God, you just won this battle over here. You got a 3-0 over here, you should battle Lux now. that's how they talk, especially on the internet.
Right.
So like you having a very good performance, I wouldn't be surprised if now some doors are starting to open up, because you not just you had a seeing battle rap is weird, right? Since there's no wins and losses, mm-hmm. you have the first. It's kind of like you're battling three people. Yeah, you're battling yourself, your opponent, and like the longevity of like the performance you're going to put on, because you're not just battling right. for the moment. You're battling for the camera. You have to be better than what you last were. You have to mm-hmm. not lose by your adversary. Like whoever's in front of you, you cannot lose to them. Clearly, just all you can do is make it as debatable as possible, and stay entertaining mm-hmm. where people want to see you again. And I think you did all three. Like, this was your best performance to date. You battled a really good name who didn't take you lightly neither, by the way. And more importantly, mm-hmm. you look good on camera. Only thing I didn't like about the battle on camera is the audio could have been better. Didn't do any of you guys justice. Mm-hmm. I wish that audio was just a little clearer, because that battle was really good. That channel only has about 270 subscribers, and that battle hit 15,000 views. Those are genuine views, mm-hmm. you know.
It's crazy too, because it did something like 1,000 in the first 2 days and like 5,000 in a week, which, you know, like you said, for a new league, you know, whatever, and it's out at 15,000. But it's just like, what's crazy, and I just keep like shaking my head at it, is just like the people, like I look at it and it's like very emotional for me, because it's just like, yeah. There goes this gay guy who they said will never be able to do this. You'll never be able to do this. And you're too flamboyant. And it's just not going to work. And for me to be able to do that is just amazing. Like, I cannot believe that at all. Like, that, like the response from the battle. Like, Steam's been talking about the battle. Calico tweeted about the battle. Like, right. It's just crazy. Twerk was saying he was about to jump on stage when I said you're going to die in 7 days. So it's just it's very overwhelming.
Yeah, man, you got to think about like with the viewership of things on YouTube. Like it works in really tricky ways, right? Well, think of Smack. Smack's mm-hmm. the biggest league in battle rap. They have about maybe 750,000 subscribers. So that's 750,000 people in the world that get a notification when any video gets uploaded. All those people have to do is just click the notification, and that's a view, right?
Mm-hmm.
This league has 270 subscribers. So for 15,000 views for that little bit of that's not even a fraction. Of, you know, the amount of mm-hmm. views for the subscribership. So, like, there's a lot of people actually clicking the battle, wanting to see what happened, hearing the positive feedback for it. And if you read there's more comments than subscribers on that video. mm-hmm. You know, the comments are positive. Mm-hmm. All the comments are like, wow, I wanted to go into this hating it, but this guy got fucking bars. That's like every mm-hmm. single comment going into it. So I know that must really give you like a relief feeling, like a boulder off your shoulder, like, yes.
It definitely did. And then before the battle came out, it was 11 subscribers on that channel. So it's grown from 11 to 200 and you know, wherever it is now.
That's
now.
Funny.
But
that's
it's
funny.
Just, it's been crazy, because it's getting like 5,000 every week. And it's just like, I'm just like, this is crazy. And then even before the battle came out, me and Perfecto was like at maybe 11, 12,000. And now me and Perfecto at 10,000. Me and Marasha was like at 7,000, and now me and her are at 10,000. So it's crazy, because people are actually binge watching my old battles, which is crazy. Like
you,
so many people are.
You're easy.
And, like,
you're easy to digest in a sense, because you only have 10 battles. You don't have like 20, 30 battles like other, you know, up and coming battle rappers have, or other battle rappers may have. And more importantly, all your battles have been in small settings where you get to rap. You know, like we don't have to mm-hmm. watch a 40-minute battle. Like, if somebody has mm-hmm. 15 battles and each battle is 30 to 40 minutes, that's a lot of time consumed. A lot of your battles are right. 16 minutes, 20 minutes. You know, you can digest maybe four of your battles within an hour. And so people will just keep mm-hmm. watching and watching and watching. And they're like, okay, this guy is dope. It's easy to follow. And with so little battles and this much of a buzz, your next 3 to 4 battles are going to be important. People are going to be like tuned in all the time.
Yeah, that's another thing that's crazy, because my problem now, because I am getting so many different offers to come here and to come there.
Wow.
But it's just like, damn, because it's like at this point, because you battle E-Hard, it's like your next move got to be the best move. Like I can't just take anything, because you got to be strategic at this point, you know, at least till you get, you know, to a certain level, and then you could go ahead and battle, you know, wherever, like, you know, certain people. But so that's the only problem I have now. It's like, well, who do I want to battle next? And you know, it has to make sense, you know?
So in the sense of a fan and kind of like media analyzing you, this would be my like advice to you. I think you need to call somebody out. Like, who you want to battle, let it be known, you know, and put the pressure out on them, because you can say, I just had a great performance and I beat one of the best female battle rappers that can probably be you. Like, so I'm calling you out, you know, and you put that name out there, or you put a hit list out there and see who bites, because that gives you the chance to start like going back and forth with blogs, going back and forth with the shit talking, building it up, because I actually want to see you in an environment next time that's hostile, where like you and the person battling do not like each other and you really want this person out of here, you know? After it's all said and done, it's business and you chop it up. But beforehand, going into it, I think that will really put a good chip on your shoulder. We're like, yo, I said, like, now all eyes are on me. I've gotten this far. I can't go back.
Right. Okay. All
right. Well, that's for me. That's my opinion. Yeah, that's my opinion for you. Mm-hmm. That's what I would love to see next for you, hopefully. Yeah. And you're going to be tricky to write for, because I'm going to quote you here. You're too worried about me being gay than your family being straight. I love that line.
Thank you.
I love that line, because it's like, you're literally telling your opponent, like, yo, you're going to come here with gay bars. Like, it's going to get you a chuckle or two, but you can't, you know, come with 3 rounds was just straight gay bars. It's not going to work. Like, my last 10 opponents tried it didn't work. And so now people have to really come creative, come in there trying to really bar you out without none of that. And then it becomes a lyrical slugfest. And I love that. That's what I love in battle rap, you know? Let's get back to the bars. Yeah.
I think also, too, I don't have a problem with people talking about my sexuality. But I think if you're going to do that, you have to be real creative and have, like, a point to why you're bringing it up. Because I think people don't get, like, I think people feel like, okay, I'm going to mention you being gay, or I'm going to say this about you, or you're gay, or you like to bend over, you know, the gay joke. But the thing is, I know who I am, and I tell everyone that's who I am, and this is who I am, and this is how I present myself. So you saying that is not embarrassing me. It's not making me feel away. Even people could laugh, but I've dealt with being gay my whole life. So coming into battle rap is just kind of like, you know, a lot of people, you know, you don't know someone's backstory and the things that they've been through and been ridiculed. So coming to battle rap is just kind of like, that's it. Like, you know, you calling me gay, that's like, you need a little bit more than that. You need an angle that makes sense. Make me feel, you know, bad about me being gay, just saying that I'm gay. I feel like people just say that I'm gay and that's it. There's no point to it, no moral to the story, no creativity.
There's no angle to it. There's no angle. Nobody's angled you
no
yet.
No angle to it.
Yeah, right. But you have, you know, to be fair, a lot of the guys you battled have tried to follow the punchline recipe, and that only gets you so far. You're very original, and that's why you stand out. Your delivery, the way you rap, the cadence, and your performance. Just being a punchline specialist only gets you so far. You have to be an elite punchline specialist, because there's only a handful out there. So the gay punches don't work for a whole round, let alone a whole battle against you. So they got to throw that out the window. And, you know, now that you mentioned kind of like how difficult it was, like always having to deal with it because you grew up like it, I would love for you to like give me a moment to like give an inspiring word to an artist, right? That is homosexual and that is trying to come up in battle rap. Like, what was something you would tell them as advice? Like, somebody that broke through and is finally being accepted by the crowd and respected for your lyricism. What's something you would tell them?
What's something I would tell them to like motivation?
Yeah.
I would say understand that it's not about you. And if you can understand that it's not about you, it's for people like you, then you'll be able to maneuver better and you won't take things so personally. And things won't upset you so much because you understand that there's a bigger picture here. What you're doing is bigger than you, and you have to just keep telling yourself that. Because if you sit there and digest all the ways people are coming at you because of your sexuality and take it personally, you're not going to ever be able to do that. And you have to have tremendous thick skin, because like I said, it's not even just battling that I have to deal with, standing in front of, you know, an opponent who's going to talk about me being gay in front of a bunch of people who are homophobic.
You're battling the world.
Also, things that are done to me. Not even that, but there's also I'm also attacked behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. and it's never something I'm going to, you know, go, you know, a lot of people go on Facebook and expose behind the scene. I don't do shit like that. But mm-hmm. I will say I have been attacked also behind the scenes so many ways. So you have to not take things personally. And you have to be really, really strong and have a lot of thick skin. And if you can understand that you're fighting for something bigger and you know, you're fighting for something monumental that could just change the game, then, you know, it'll be all worth it for you at the end of the day.
Yeah, man, that's deep, man. That's really deep. And I, even before speaking to you, I had a really profound respect for you because I know just beyond your orientation, just being a bad rapper is difficult as a whole. People forget.
Yeah, right.
Like, so you got to really, you got to love it because if you don't love it, then this becomes a task where you're taking battles for checks and you're not really writing rounds, you're slipping through it. So if you don't love it because of how difficult it is, mm-hmm. you're not going to have fun with it. So that alone, I give right. respect to anybody that's like performing well. It's original, and plus originality matters to me a lot. This we can admit the market is oversaturated. So if you just sound different, you're already winning the battle.
I feel like you get ridiculed for being different in battle rap. I feel like if you're different, it's like, oh, you're not like this, or you don't do it like this, or yeah. you don't say it like this. So people try to discredit you because you come and you approach things differently.
I'll take the different approach and the originality over, you know, the same style over and over and over again, because you know mm-hmm. if somebody has the same style with no personality, then there's nothing really behind it. Like battle rap is just battle rap is grown where it's more than the bars. It's the personality, it's who you are, it's how you present yourself, the presence, it's a whole bunch of things. And if you don't mm-hmm. come with the package, like, you're just not gonna keep people attracted to the idea of listening to you. Forget who you are, right. MC. You have to entertain these people for, you know, 180 seconds a cappella. That's not easy.
Right.
It's not easy sometimes.
No, that's not easy. I never really thought about it, but looking back, it's not easy. And I've always, one thing I've always, it's, I always, and I'm, when I'm rapping, I'm aware of what's going on in the room and the energy, and I know I have a lot of moments where I'm like, damn, like, it's quiet. You can hear an ant hiss right now. Like, people are really listening to what I'm saying. Like, and it just would be so overwhelming to me. Like, damn, they really listening to what I'm saying. This is crazy.
Yeah, man. For sure. For sure. And moving on a little more, like, into battle rap, I want to hear, man. I really would love to know, who is your top five? Whether you want to call it current or general, or however you want to classify. I would love to hear your top five.
I would say my current top five right now is probably Danny Meyer, mm-hmm. B-Dot, Loso, who else would I put in my top five? I would say, and this is just like who, like my top five, like favorite people, I would say Charlie Clips. I love Charlie. I've always loved Charlie. I think he's like very, very creative. And I would say, I will put 40 bars in there, too.
Nice. That's a diverse five, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody that you would, like, you think stylistically would match up with you well? And you're like, me and this person could put on a classic. Like, it don't even have to be on your hit list, but you just think to yourself, like, okay, me, my style, the way I battle, the way you battle, we can put on a good battle and entertain the crowd and have something for YouTube to enjoy. Who's somebody you think matches up with you on that level?
And we've actually talked about this, but I think me and Twerk will be a good battle. I really think Twerk will be a good battle. I like his performance, and he has ability to command the crowd, and I think the clash of me and him will be amazing.
Right.
So I definitely think Twerk is somebody. I definitely want to battle Official, too. I think me and her would be a good style clash. I've said that for, like, a long time. LA Battlegrounds was actually going to set that up, but she had something already set up, so we couldn't do it or whatever. But I definitely would want to. I think that would be a good battle too.
Right, right. The same night you battled E-Heart, Cali battled Twerk, and it must have mm-hmm. been great for him because Twerk at the moment was hot. You know, he's still hot right now, so it must have been a really big look for him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good look for him. I think I told him, like, yo, like, I wish somebody would have been able to give me that opportunity to battle, like, a Twerk, like, you know, so early on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was such an amazing opportunity. You had to even stand in front of Twerk. There's so many battle rappers that wish they could be like, oh, let give me Twerk, you know what I'm saying? So
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Man. Yeah, he's an upcoming star for sure. Well, he's already like one of the guys that looking forward towards the future, like for URL, like, and he's had such a great year, probably one of the best rookie years in history, as far as to me. Besides Arsenal,
they mentioned them in Forbes magazine.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. So like, besides Arsenal's rookie year, which is a decade ago, I haven't seen a rookie year like the Twerks and whew, so it was great, and So Twerk, Official. Give me one more name.
One more name. I'm trying to think who would put on a good show with me. I think me and Daylight would have been the most amazing show ever, but it didn't go down.
Yeah, Daylight's pretty clever. I had a name that I was actually going to throw at you that I think will actually look really good with you. Mike P. Because Mike P's clever. He's a good writer.
He's funny. Really, yeah, he's really clever. You're absolutely right.
That's somebody I instantly thought about. Right. And Mike P and Daylight battled near the same time you were supposed to battle Daylight. And they put on a really good show. And stylistically, it just came together well. So I thought of Mike P against you. I was like, you know what, Mike P and Fly King would be really good. Like they both could crack jokes, they both could stray away from, you know, the stereotypical predictable bars that somebody would think. Like he wouldn't take a gay approach and you wouldn't take a white approach. You guys would be more creative than that. And then
that battle would look so, that would look crazy because the fact of who I am and then who he is.
Right. Yeah. As far as the politics, as far as the politics and stature, that's a whole nother conversation, you know. But as far as style, I think that would have looked really good. That could translate.
I agree.
And getting into the politics a little bit, like, do you have any goals as of right now in battle rap? Like, okay, I want to be on this league. I want to be on this card, or I want to battle this person. Like, what's kind of like the end game as far as you and battling?
As we are battling, I mean, I think at one point I did feel like, oh, I want to be on Summer Madness, or I want to be on, you know, in Canada on King of the Dot. I don't know if that's something that is going to happen. So I feel like, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, just pick out names that I feel like make sense and just kind of bring the names over to me, like, you know, bring the names over to Opulence or bring the names over to L.A. Battlegrounds and just kind of see where it goes from there. Because if I'm able to do that with, you know, E-Heart, you know, on a league with no views, then maybe I should just try to go that route instead of trying to aspire to be on a big stage. I think it would be, because I'm kind of thinking of it like this, like, Smack putting me on a big stage, maybe it's kind of like, you know, we can't do that because we're going to lose respect for, you know, allowing a gay rapper to be on a big stage like that. So that's, I don't want to say moved on from wanting to do that, but I kind of feel like I just don't think that it's going to happen. So I'm just going to find people who I want to battle and just, you know, battle them.
You don't think that you building the fan base with a couple more battles wouldn't have enough support to probably get onto a league, into a bigger stage? Because
I feel like now Bap and Debo was at the event when I battled E-Heart, and I've talked to them about, you know, being on Queen of the Ring. So, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I was asked not to, you know, keep everything that they're doing so classified. So you might see me over there, but. As far as, like, you know, a Smack stage or a King of the Dot stage, I just don't know if it's going to happen. Even if I have a big fan base, I think, and I don't know this, but I feel like their perspective, like Organic's perspective or Beasley's perspective, is kind of like, yeah, I fuck with him, yeah, he fire. But if I put him on there, they're going to give me a lot of heat for putting a gay rapper on, you know, our platform and, you know, people already troll the shit out of me just to be gay, so now they're trolling Smack or they're trolling Organic because they had me on their platform. You know what I'm saying? Even though I feel like, you know, if I were on either stage or any stage, if I was on Smack or King of the Dot, it would be a very, you know, very lucrative battle. Like, I definitely would not complain, and I would definitely buy. If people feel like I put on the shows now, if you put me on a big stage, oh, I'll even have an elephant come out. Like, don't fuck with me. Don't play with me. So, I don't think that they would do that at the end of the day. And I feel like I've had opportunities. Like, I've had a GZ battle, and my opponent didn't show up. I had a PG, and my opponent didn't show up.
Really?
This was a while ago. Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. Who, you remember who was supposed to battle? Do you remember who the PG was against?
I don't remember. I think the nigga name was Titan. It was like this was like maybe 2 years ago. So neither one of us was like no names, but I think his name was Titan. I have the flyer somewhere. I have to dig down on my Instagram. But I was supposed to battle on a PG card out here on the West. And then it was at a time where I don't remember the person's name who was running the West Coast PGs, but it was a scandal when he was taking people money or something like that, and they got rid of him.
Oh, wow.
I forgot his name. It started with a P. I forgot. Prospect or something like that. I don't remember his name. But then they passed it on to someone else, and I was supposed to be on the next PG card, but then that person stopped answering my messages. And then I had got word back that someone had told him, like, oh, they can't book me because of the little gay agenda. So that had a lot to do with him deciding not to have me on the next card. So that's why I say about not being on a big stage like that, because everybody's like, you can't have him because of the gay agenda. So I don't know if anybody's going to be able to get past that.
I think to counter the agenda, and this is going to support you a lot, the internet fucks with you. And that's big because... Man, the internet's ruthless. Them YouTube comments is ruthless.
Yes, like, they are.
And I just laugh at it because you probably, like, when a battle drops, you think, oh, man, I'm going to get a lot of hate. But it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys even admit it in the comments, like, oh, I hate his voice, but he has bars. Oh, I didn't expect to like this, but he's fire. Or I respect his pen.
A lot of people were saying, I'm not supposed to like this. I was fucking dying.
Like, a lot of people will go in there wanting to hate you, but they say, you know what? I gotta respect it. And that's good. You know, I had Lex Luthor on the show recently, and he had about maybe 40 battles before he even got on Smack. And he always had a really, like, you know, a funny style, joking, a little nerdy, but something you would never envision being on Smack, and the internet hated him.
Right.
So when Smack booked him, they told him, all right, let's see how the internet likes you. And he was concerned because the internet hates him. But this time around, things switched. So they care a lot about the content and how it's perceived and the feedback on it. And you receive good feedback on the content online. That matters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be the argument as to down the line why things have to change. Like, you have another battle or two, like the E-Hart battle, where like comments are left and right. Yo, this guy is good. This guy is good. I was supposed to like this, but this was fire. That'll get you the push where it's like, okay, you know what? We can't ignore this anymore. Let's give this guy what he deserves. And I think LA Battleground.
Well, maybe.
I think LA Battleground at this point needs to give you a better opponent. You've been there already five, six times. And you showed out already.
Yeah, I know. And I was supposed to be there at daylight, and they didn't show up.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. So hopefully they do. But, you know, and it's not, it's all love. But, you know, when you telling me that story, how he had 40 battles before he got on Smack, maybe you're right. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, it'll happen. You know, things happen when they're supposed to. So
right.
You know, keep the fight, and, you know, you'll be on there. So maybe I should look at it like that.
Yeah, man. Because,
I mean, if they call me to be on a big stage, like, I would love to, and I would take it so seriously. Like,
I'm sure, man, because you didn't get this far to slack off. So, like, the next time they give you a good look, that person has to watch out. Like, you come in there hungry, and there's nothing more dangerous than a hungry battle rapper. That really, really wants the spot and the respect. Forget the money, forget the fame, forget all the stuff. They want the respect. People that want that are dangerous to come across.
I definitely want the respect. I definitely strive for the respect, so yeah.
Yeah, man. So, man, I'm coming close to that time where I got to wrap things up. But Fly King, man, I really appreciate it, and I really admire you a lot. And believe me, I will be following your career closely, and I'm very critical and fair. So, you know, the great times, I'll praise you, and in any of the tough times, I'll be there to give you that criticism. But I look forward to following the rest of your battle career, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. I really do.
No doubt, man. Before I let you go, any music you're working on, anything you want to plug on in?
You can check out my music. I'm on iTunes, Tidal, Spotify. I have a new single, Rendezvous, that's out with Chaucer Taylor. We actually recorded that on the Bad Girl Club. I was on Bad Girl Club season 16. So you can check out my single with her. I have music coming out. And it's Fly King Eye on all social media and, you know, everywhere if you want to check me out.
Nice, man. Nice. And you, as far as your music, you have a group, right? Like, you have a whole, like, the Fly King Media. Is it, like, you or is it a couple other MCs as well?
It's just me. It's just me. Yeah.
Okay.
I was in a group when I started out rapping, but I branched off. But this was before I started. This is a long time ago. This is before I started doing my solo project. I was doing music within the group, and then we kind of disbanded, and I just went solo.
Nice, man. Nice. I definitely will check out your music, man. And hopefully I get to see you. One thing I want battle rappers to start bringing back is cyphers, man. I miss the cyphers from battle rappers. And I would love to see you in one because you having just straight bars without the performance would probably fit in perfectly in the cypher, too.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to do, you know, a cypher. I was on the first L.A. Battleground cypher, if you want to check that one out.
That was back in 2015,
That was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually before I was supposed to battle Daylight, I believe.
Yeah. I think that was before the first LA beef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I remember that. I do remember that.
I was on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would love to do another one.
Yeah, man. So, my brother, man, I appreciate you, man. Definitely have a wonderful night.
No problem, friends. You have a good evening.
You too, man.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.